You are listening to an SAFM podcast, 104 to 107 nationwide. Stream us live on www.safm.co.za or via the SABC Plus app. SABC News, independent and impartial.
Hi, Bankuwe. What kind of stinking freedom we were celebrating yesterday whilst so many teachers are not working, whilst they are so qualified. Our nauseating government is stealing the money, and their reasons or their excuses would be they don't have budget for those teachers. So what kind of freedom is that one? Whilst unemployment it's so high in South Africa, whilst the very same government is not employing those qualified teachers. These excuses that Ramaphosa was stating yesterday are nauseating to the last degree. Thanks to Willie and Kuma.
Good morning, Bongo. Pardon my ignorance. This doesn't make sense. They are teaching post, yet there are teachers who are unemployed. In the same way, they are doctors post, and we have qualified doctors who are unemployed. What kind of planning is this? And then we are get to be told that the government is a victim of its own success. What kind of success is that they can train people and yet they can't place them? Where's the money? What happened to the money? This is just so annoying, really. People are doing jobs that they are not capable of doing because it clearly means that somebody cannot plan. Colleges of education have even been closed. What was the reason for that? Apparently it meant that there were too many teachers. But, I mean, really. Yo, this is just so ridiculous and annoying at the same time. Debbie here.
SAFM values your views. Be an active citizen. Sunday morning discussion on Weekend View.
And your voice notes segue us into our discussion this morning. A massive increase in the number of vacant teaching posts should be a significant concern for every parent of a school-going learner. Now, this is according to Paul Yesterhazen, CEO of School Days, who also believes that the high number of vacant teaching posts is a self-inflicted one and South Africans need to hold ministers accountable. Basic Education Minister Angie Motshekga recently revealed that in the last 3 years, vacancies in teacher posts had grown 28% from around 24,000 to more than 31,000. Despite unofficial estimations that there are at least 30,000 qualified teachers who are struggling to find employment, now the Department of Basic Education has issued an order allowing schools to hire temporary teachers to address the vacancies. Now, meanwhile, the National Professional Teachers Organization of South Africa, NPTOSA, says government is not doing enough to stimulate the economy. And of course, also, and that the part of the issue is that the government tends to not act on its commitments. So what impact is this having? I mean, I was listening to this one voice note that was asking, is it poor planning or is there something else that's going on here? What exactly is happening and what impact does this have on the quality of education? Do we see overcrowding in classrooms because of this problem as well? So let's discuss this further now. We're joined on the line by Paul Yesterhazen, CEO of School Days, and Basil Manuel, Executive Director at the National Professional Teachers Organization of South Africa, also known as NPTOSA. Let me thank you both this morning for your time. I'm going to start with you, Mr. Manuel. This problem that we're talking about these vacant teacher posts, please put us in the picture about how big of a problem we're talking about here and how serious is it?
Good morning and thanks for having me, and good morning to Paul as well. At first, let me just put it into context. I think there was a bit of poor phrasing. When we talk about vacant posts, we are talking about posts that exist where there are no permanent teachers appointed. That does not, of course, mean that in the majority of these posts there are no teachers at all. However, that problem does also exist. So in terms of the quantum, we have it just judging by the reports from the ELRC in the provinces, there are approximately 8,000 posts where there may not be teachers in, as opposed to the 31,000-32,000 that were mentioned. The others have, but they are temporary teachers. But that still constitutes a major problem, because it talks to inefficiencies in the system. How does it happen that you have over 30,000 posts where you do not have permanent teachers, when the system is so designed that teachers become permanent relatively quickly? Mm. That says that there is something seriously wrong, either in the administration of the departments, or it may even be, and it's very unlikely, that schools aren't reporting the vacancies on time.
And I'm going to come back to that, because I wanted to ask about that issue of the schools and if they are reporting this, and you say that they're reporting it, but I want us to talk a little bit about it. Paul, for you, you know, when you hear the fact that some of the teachers, I mean, they're there, temporary positions, but certainly not permanent, and then at the same time in some other posts there may not be teachers at all, it ought to raise alarm bells for parents, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and good morning, and hello, Basil. Good to be online with you so early on a Sunday morning. This Bongiwe, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This is a hot topic. I mean, it's a continual one. We've seen the stats, we've seen the numbers, and we've been drilling down. And in fact, if you were to go and look at it, there's been so much noise and clamour around where are we headed with attracting, one, the top quality students to make this vocation of teaching a career. And the greater picture that was tabled is, right, we have an annual shortage of the number of teachers we're producing. And I get it. We're losing a number of retiring teachers who are exiting the profession. And on the other side of it as well, we also find that a number of our teachers are being attracted to go and teach overseas. So we've got a number of reasons. Teachers do. They move province, and you have an unfilled vacancy at a school. And the mandate to the school is, yes, you can fill that with a temporary appointment, because we need the teachers. We cannot have these numbers continue to escalate. And there is this management scenario. But when asked of the question and answered in Parliament by Angie Motshekga around, you know, where were we in 2021? We had 24,000 unfilled posts. And yes, to Basil's point, schools are saying, I need a temp. Please come in 3 months here, 4 months here, 2 months here, a month here. Help us. We need you, teachers. And teachers do locum and go in and teach. So there is a direction. But then when Angie Motshekga answers this question now and says, from that 24,000 unfilled posts that we have, being the official number, we're now over 31,000 posts. And tricky things, when budgets are cut, schools cannot continue to resource adequately. We had a situation just 2 weeks ago. I was alerted. Department of Basic Education called a meeting with a semi-private public school here in Johannesburg, a school that has been teaching and providing services on a property not owned by the department, where we've got over 340 learners, and then we have the ratio of 10 to 12 teachers there. Purely underprivileged kids coming from an informal settlement area. Department of Basic Education says, sorry, we're cutting your budget by 40%. No due process followed, just purely we're cutting the budget. The school's now got to go out and beg and borrow, and you know, then we have teachers who are going to be unemployed. Oh, deep breath.
Deep breath indeed. And when we come back, I just want us to look at this in greater detail as to, you know, what kind of impact does this then have on the quality of learning and teaching? And is it an issue of poor planning, or is there something else at play here that maybe we are not seeing as part of, you know, being this complex problem? I don't understand. So let's just try and really delve deeper into it and understand, in terms of issues of around accountability, what do we then do, but also how do we begin to even help the teachers who themselves, if you are there and you are now overloaded, what do you do as a teacher? So we'll talk about all of that when we come back, just from this short break.
Sunday morning discussion on Weekend View.
Good day, Bishop Magwana from Lewahomi Zone. You know, I'm quite dismayed by the current government led by the ANC and its cabal. They seem to think that South Africans belong to them. And they think to believe that we are stupid and gullible. That is why you continue to vote for the same organization, expecting different results. Because before elections, right after 2019, all the ministers disappeared. There was nothing. They spoke in radios. They never went to communities. Most of the time, they just say words, utter whatever they could, and walk away. Now that it is only 4 weeks to elections, even the ever-quiet Thula Sinyezi open up his mouth and tell us that they are creating 2 million jobs. Where were they? Where were they during the time we were suffering right up until now that there is time to elections? These people are taking us for a ride. That's utter rubbish and nonsense.
Our failed education system is simply a reflection of the ANC policy of socialism, communism, and self-enrichment. That is why we have Cuban doctors working in our hospitals while our own doctors sit at home unemployed. That is why we have Cuban mechanics working at the SANDF while our own trained mechanics are sitting at home. And that is why when Panyaz Lesufi, MEC for Education at the time, lost 432 million, which has never been recovered, could have been used to benefit the teachers' training and pay, but it never was looked for. The money's never recovered and nobody cares. Mike Newlands.
SAFM values your views. Be an active citizen.
I tell you, the views of our listeners, definitely some of them not holding back. And speaking of some comments, I mean, TG saying the problem is lack of qualified teachers, as the ones that are not employed are not meeting the standard. And this has led to changes in our schools where children are forced to travel or walk long distances so that they can be in what the basic education says is more favorable teaching conditions. Look back in the days where primary schools, secondary and senior schools, of which kids only left their much nearer schools to do standard 7 or now grade 9, and fast forward, do standard 8 to 10 in far areas, and now the department and parents must talk about capable teacher colleges to get qualified teachers. Basil, when one hears about the fact that there are vacant posts, there are qualified, possibly, candidates who can meet the requirements of these particular posts, it can be as simple as that. Advertise the posts, get the candidates, start working. Are we simplifying a complicated problem?
I don't think you are. That is the unfortunate reality. Posts are not being advertised because schools have, or governing bodies rather, have the right to recommend teachers after 3 months in a temporary post that's a substantive vacant post. They can recommend them for permanency. And that is why I refer to the inefficiencies of the system. Why is this not happening? But we also do need vacancy lists because, as Paul had indicated, people are moving around. There is a desire to get to a better place, a different place. People are also leaving the country and some are returning. And those returnees also have a right to apply. But at the moment, we are sitting with many, many unemployed teachers. We are training teachers in the wrong directions. Research by Stellenbosch University has indicated that there are a few thousand teachers out of alignment. In other words, in the foundation phase, we have hundreds of teachers not qualified for the foundation phase. But because a school can't find a foundation phase teacher, these teachers are appointed. Now, the problem with that, obviously, it has to do with things like, can the teacher teach reading? This is the foundation phase. Not every teacher has been taught how to teach reading. And that is where some of our problems lie. But where exactly is the inefficiency? Now, we know that education is by and large a provincial competence. So the provinces are in charge of ensuring that all this happens. And appointments are a provincial competence. Even further, they are, in many of the provinces, a district competence. So The provinces that have over-centralized, that is where a lot of the problems lie, because you can't expect one office to deal with 7,000-8,000 vacancies at a time. Mm. And there are large numbers. Now, if we don't sort this out, we then feed into the problem of people leaving. Number one, first of all, leaving public education to look for better in private education. And you don't blame them because the uncertainties in schools. Remember, the uncertainties lead to teachers not being able to make life decisions, even buy a car, because you have a three-month post. It goes further. Schools can't plan that this person is going to be here in the long term. So it hampers the quality of their planning. Then, to make matters worse, if in fact, because of these austerity measures, and we know that education has lost a huge amount of money to austerity measures, provinces then simply delay giving permission for the temporary filling of posts. And that is where we see other issues creeping in.
Sure.
Principals have to then make a plan. And they do make a plan because each class must have a teacher. So they combine classes and the like, leading to bigger class sizes, overcrowding, because not every school can say, I will fill this with our own money whilst we wait for the departmentally paid person. And so there's a knock-on effect second to none, and it is destabilizing the system.
Sure. And what impact then, Paul, does it have on the quality of education?
Well, referring back to that research that we got from Stellenbosch University, more than half of the primary school children in this country are in classrooms with more than 40 learners. And we know how crucial those early years are, those formative years. But when you're a teacher standing in front of 40 children where you can barely actually move because the classroom is so overcrowded, you cannot even identify where the kids are struggling. So we tend to be going around in circles on a lot of this. And really, this our whole country, even though we're going into the elections now, we are crying out for leadership to be accountable, to report back to us. As parents, we want to know that our child goes to a school and there's a leader in that school who can look up to a leader in the province who will ensure that all those requirements and resources that the school needs can be met and filled. And when we're hearing of lack of resources and non-delivery, it's leadership. We've got to have principals. We've got to have school governing bodies who do it for the right reasons, and we've got to lead. It's everything we want so that we can all be participative in it. The school days of our children's lives are pivotal for breaking the cycle of poverty, for building better, for giving them the capabilities of being employed. How many of those matrics last year are still walking the streets looking for employment? And that's a harsh, harsh reality in the households of this country.
And that is so true. I mean, also, you know, I'm actually even stunned by the fact that vacancy lists, you know, one would think that this is a list that would be so easy to access. Just have it there. You know, 5 people have left. Here's a list. Add to it. Okay. Let's take a breather and we'll come back and really look at what then becomes the solutions. And honestly, as a parent, who must I be looking at when it comes to accountability? Because I don't know, some of these things look like low-hanging fruit, honestly.
Bongiwe Zwane on SAFM.
All right, let's continue then our discussion. You know, I mean, you think about the fact that teacher shortages is not only a South African problem. I remember the UNESCO's global report also showing that global teacher shortage is also affecting access to, as well as the relevance of education. I mean, leading to some overcrowding in classrooms and diminishing the teaching quality, as well as the limited learning opportunities, especially in underserved communities. So, Basil, how do we even begin to just deal with this problem one bite at a time? Because if we're going to try to deal with it, I suppose, all at once, it may overwhelm us. But where do we begin in order to ensure that we are not dicing with the future of our little ones?
In fact, this isn't rocket science. We need to at first appoint the teachers that qualify for a permanent appointment. And there are thousands of those by the statistics given by the minister. And then secondly, there will be posts that you can't summarily fill, because these are promotion posts that where a temporary person who is a post of one teacher has been placed until that post can be advertised. Get the vacancy lists out. So let me say what we have done as NAPTOSA. We have called on the unions, the other teacher unions, to support us in demanding that the ELRC gets the proper figures from each school, from each province, sorry. And that process is running at the moment. And then, of course, it is within the authority of the Labour Relations Council to ask why posts haven't been filled, contrary to an agreement within the Labour Relations Council. And provinces have to be called to account. That is the second process that is already running. We cannot continue having such large vacancy numbers. And so that we can also start addressing the unemployed teachers that are out there. Mm. But the bigger issue also is to get the alignment right. We have called on the national ministry, because higher education is a national competence, to start giving clearer direction to the universities about what the needs of education are in all the provinces. We cannot simply be training teachers for the sake of the number. We need to be training in the right directions. Currently, that is not happening. And that is why so many people are out of alignment. And that is why some teachers are unemployable, because there are just too many of a particular type that has a particular qualification. And that stands to reason. But we can't also be training for the overseas markets. It's taxpayers' money in a country where we do have issues in terms of finances. We have to be training so that we can absorb the teachers. Paul is right. Soon we will have a shortage of teachers, because we are currently having, as an aggregate, no shortage. But that is untrue, because, as I said, a lot of people are out of alignment. So there is much that can be done quite instantly. But there also needs to be better coordination. And, of course, people must be held to account. We must crack the whip on districts that are inefficient and crumbling. Districts are one of our biggest problems. Mm-hmm. But they've also become the people that we make an excuse with at a provincial level. We say the districts haven't, when sometimes it is the provincial officers themselves.
You agree, Paul, on that accountability front?
Yeah, absolutely. And Basil's right. I mean, and he knows he's leading at NAPTOSA the realities of saying we can fix this. Mm. But we drill down and at provincial level, it's not being fulfilled. The onus on the principals and the schools to be able to be appealing to this, the long-term development of attracting teachers into the profession, the upskilling of existing teachers. This drumbeat is constant. It hasn't changed. And that's where it would be wonderful if we could get the leadership right to say the biggest, greatest single priority in this country is to educate the children and to get this done and get it fulfilled and to plan. If we're running at an annual deficit of the order of between 10 and 15,000 teachers that are required, we're just exacerbating this and we're going to be pushing it higher and higher and higher. So when teachers are leaving the profession, we need to be replacing with those who have been well-trained. Teaching education, a degree in education cannot become the, oh, let me go and do that because I'll work for the state and be paid. It's got to be, I want to teach because I can make a difference in the lives of children and they will become the adults and the leaders of this country for the future. That's got to be a calling. We've got to nurture the calling to understand where the talent pool is, and then we need to attract them. We need those teacher training colleges to be burgeoning within our universities. I get it, we don't need them to be separated, but our universities need to also be doing that. We've got to nurture the calling.
And I hope the next time we speak, all of us will even talk about what the teachers are being taught in these institutions is also preparing them adequately for what they are then confronted with in the schools as well, because that is also quite another big talking point. But thank you so much to you both for just talking to us about this. That was Paul Yesterhazen, CEO of School Days, and Basil Manuel, Executive Director at the National Professional Teachers Organization of South Africa, and that is NEPTOSA.
You can find SAFM Current Affairs on 104 to 107 nationwide. Our podcasts are available for download on all our digital platforms. SAFM, leading the conversation.